Psalm 66. Let me wrap it up in just a couple of minutes. This idea of our praise to God, what are we supposed to do? Oftentimes, we get the wrong idea that our praise to God is the sound that comes out of our mouth, that our praise to God is the noise that our lips make. But in Scripture, there's actually a completely different idea that we see. And there's two verses in Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. As we praise God, we're going to see here, there's just a couple of words I quickly want to look at, and I promise it will be quick, okay? I've taken way too much time. But as this idea that our praise begins not with the noise that comes out of our lips, but it begins with the attitude. It begins with the heart. And so we see a command in verse 1 where we're commanded to sing God's praise, or commanded to give God praise. It says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. As we look at this word joyful, it has the idea of being heartfelt. And this word joyful, in its original context, actually talked about a victorious army coming back after a battle. And a victorious army coming back after a battle, if you know anything about the history of the Old Testament, we see the accounts, they threw celebrations that were nothing to sneeze at. Week-long celebrations, parades, they praised the victors, they lifted up their hands, they said, these people were victorious. It was heartfelt, it was incredibly passionate how they threw these celebrations. And folks, if we think about it, when we come to church, we should come to church, we should come to God with this idea of worship, knowing that we have the victory. As believers, we have the victory, and therefore that should help stem from our heart this idea that our praise to God has to come from the heart. It has to be heartfelt. It has to be joyful. Because if we come to God and if we give Him praise simply with our mouth, but we're distracted, or our heart is someplace different, that's not praise. That is a simple lip service. That is hypocrisy. Because we are convinced of one thing in our heart, and we're doing something completely different with our mouth. Praise must begin in the heart. A heartful, joyful attitude. The next word is noise. And this, I know this verse we often quote, right? To say, I can't sing, but I can certainly make a joyful noise. Have you heard that before? Good. I'm serious. That's Scripture tells us that this idea of noise has this idea of being genuine. All God wants from us is to hear from us. He wants our attention. He wants us to recognize Him for who He is and what He has done in our lives. God doesn't require that we have a degree in music performance in order to sing His praise. God doesn't require us to be on a traveling team or to be perfect in our praise before He'll accept it. Because even though I traveled on a team for the summer that did music, if we had to be perfect with our music in order for God to accept our praise, He would not have accepted it any night of the week. Because we weren't perfect. We made mistakes. Making a joyful noise is this idea of being genuine. Do you sincerely just want to recognize God for who He is? Not concerned about what people around you think, not concerned about what your neighbor thinks, not concerned about what other people think, because that's the fear of man. If you come to church, if you simply desire to give God praise, and you know, as they say, you sing loud and sing proud, and maybe it's monotone, that means singing one note the whole time, that's what God wants. Because you are making a genuine noise. You are recognizing God for who He is. And so using this excuse of, well, I can't sing, so. That's not a good enough excuse. We're commanded to give God praise. And if that simply means giving a genuine noise where we mean our praise and we want to recognize Him for who He is, that's all God desires. my praise to God, even though we practiced for hundreds of hours over the semester, my praise with the Heritage Singers, just because we would, in some people, be considered a professional team because we travel, that praise means no more to God if we are not doing it with a heartfelt, genuine attitude than somebody else who maybe thinks they can't sing, but they just want to recognize God. God accepts both of those praises. God accepts our recognition of who He is. He just wants to hear from us. And so we can't use this excuse of, well, I don't have the gift of music. I don't have the gift, the ability to praise God. You do have the ability to praise God. Just maybe not in the way you think. And so as we look at the final term, all ye lands here, it has the idea behind it that if we're believers, we're all included in this command to praise Him. We're all included to recognize Him. It doesn't matter what we think is acceptable to God. It matters that we recognize God. It matters that we are genuine, that we have a heart of worship, that we genuinely want to give God glory, to praise Him. So this excuse of, well, I can't sing, it's debunked right here in this first verse. Because we're all commanded to praise God, to give Him praise. And so if we're here in a church, as a church body of believers, how dare we judge each other? How dare we say, well, I could have done it better than them. I could have played the piano better than her. I mean, I couldn't have played the piano better than her because I don't play piano. But it's too easy as believers to become judgmental, to say, I can do it better. I could have done it better. Let me have a chance to show what I can do. It's not about what we think. It's about what God thinks, what God desires. And every single one of us should come before God desiring to give Him praise with a heartfelt, joyful attitude, being genuine in our noise, recognizing God for who He is, and we're all commanded to do it, as it says, all ye lands. Then in verse 2, as we wrap it up, it says, sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Our praise to God as we give Him praise, it has to be glorious. And what is that idea of glorious? That word make there, in the second line, make His praise glorious. It has the idea behind it to be intentional. When we do anything in life, we have to be intentional about it in order to accomplish it. You know, ladies, if you desire to make dinner for your husband, do you just throw all the ingredients on the counter and then, fingers crossed, come back in an hour and it's ready? I wish. You know, men, if you go to work desiring to provide for your family, do you just kind of kick back, put your feet up on the desk, and then expect the money to roll in? Again, I wish. Kids, if you clean your room, and your parents says, go clean your room, do you walk in like Mary Poppins does and just kind of twirl around a couple of times and your bed makes itself and your toys go in their toys box? Again, I wish. But anything we set out to do in life, if we desire to do the best of our abilities, to do it with a purpose, then we have to be intentional about it. And the same goes for the way that we praise God and recognize Him for who He is. If we think our personal life with God, our personal time with Him is just going to happen. If we think that, tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, I'll know I'll be able to find some time. If we say, when I have time, I'll give my praise to God. If we have the idea that it's just going to happen, I have this little friend called life I'd like to introduce you to. Because it doesn't just happen. Any of the praise, any of the desire that we have to come before God to praise Him, the Heritage Singers, it didn't just happen when they picked the team out, but we had hundreds of hours of practicing that we put in. We practiced throughout the summer as we traveled because we wanted to be intentional about our worship. So we have to make time to praise God. We have to make time to spend with Him. We have to be intentional about our desire to recognize God for who He is and what He's done. Because if we're not intentional, if we don't make time for God, it's not going to happen. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, and I thought for sure that, you know, once I got to college, my personal life with God would fall into place. You know, I'm in a Christian college. I've got a chapel every morning that I'm required to go to. I have my Bible class. I'm a Bible major. You know, I'm going to sit through so many Bible classes. We have dorm devos at night, required to go to church three times a week. My personal life with God is just going to fall into place. And I'm here to tell you 7 years later, it still hasn't happened. Because I wasn't intentional. I didn't make an effort at my relationship with God. By His grace, He gives me the strength now day by day to realize my mistakes, and I can move past that and move forward and strive to do better by His grace. But folks, if we're not intentional about praising God and glorifying Him, it won't happen. So in order to glorify God, in order to make our praise glorious, we have to be intentional. And finally, that word glorious. What does that word glorious mean? I'm glad you asked. This word glorious has the idea behind it of a bridal party. And a bridal party is very distinct. My and Elise's first wedding anniversary was Sunday, and so we've been married a year, and so this idea of a wedding party is still very fresh in my mind. I told you the story about how my brother Peter and I all flew out to Pennsylvania for my other brother's wedding, and we got to take part in that ceremony. So the idea of a wedding is still very fresh in my mind. And to understand a bridal party, if any stranger were to come in off the streets and be a part of a wedding ceremony, they would know where the center of attention is. There's no doubt. Within that bridal party, there's actually one piece that is the center of attention. Any child could point out the center of the bridal party. Any stranger off the street could point you to where the focus is on the wedding party. When this person walks into the room, every eye is on this person. It's actually a tradition that they stand in respect for this person. We all know it. There's no doubt in our mind that it's the groom. I don't know why Elise made me sleep on the couch the first time I used that illustration, because we all know it's the bride. And to think of who then we are in Christ as a church, we are the bride of Christ. We are supposed to be distinct. We are supposed to be unique. We are supposed to be set apart from anything else. You see, the idea in these verses is that our praise to God is not just about the noise that comes out of our mouth, but it's how we live our life. And do we desire to use our life to praise God? We often get the wrong idea that praise is the noise that comes out of our mouth. But we see in these verses that it's much more than that. It's about how we desire to stand out, to be different from the world. The praise that we give God, if an unbeliever was listening, would they say they're not praising man, but they're praising something greater than man? Is the way we praise God, is it different from the world, how they praise man? Is our praise to God distinct and not a copycat of a form of the world? Is it unique, not leftovers from the world's ideas? Is our life set apart so that we have the ability to praise God, to give Him the glory that He deserves? Praise is not just about the noise that comes out of our mouth, but it's about the way we dedicate ourselves to live for God. And that's the mistake we can often make. That's the mistake that we had to remind ourselves of this summer as we traveled, that it's not just about the actions that we do, But it's about the whole idea of how we present ourselves to be used of God in whatever way He wants. If it was just about the noise that comes out of our mouth, folks, by week 9, 10 of the summer, and Elise can attest to this, Pastor can probably even attest to this since he traveled, it is easy. You can actually sing an entire song and not even be there present. It happened a number of times to me over the summer. I'd begin to think about the next day, the plans that we had. I'd begin to think about maybe even what I was going to be preaching on that night. And I'd get distracted, and we get to the end of the song, and I'd snap back to reality. And I'd go, did I just sing? So if it was just about the noise that came out of our mouth, then that would be acceptable. But praise to God, as we see in these verses, about how we conduct ourselves. Starting first in the heart. How we begin this whole process of ascribing worth to God, giving Him glory, has to begin in the heart. When it begins in the heart, as we understand that our heartfelt, joyful attitude, that we can give Him a genuine noise. He just wants to hear from us. Then as believers, we're all included in this command, all ye lands. And in order to make God's praise glorious, we have to be intentional about it. We have to make an effort. And our praise to God has to be distinct. We have to be set apart. We have to be unique from the world so that we can glorify God in our daily lives, how we conduct ourselves. And living for Him, being a servant of His, that He can use us in whatever way He wants, that is worship. Ascribing worth to God, giving Him praise. And is that our desire? That was the desire of the team. That is what I believe was accomplished this summer. And even though that there were hardships, even though there were difficult times, some struggles that we did go through as a team, that we would approach each service with the mentality of, God deserves to hear from me. God deserves the best that I can give Him. God deserves that I just recognize Him for who He is and what He's done. And now is that our desire as a church? To live a life glorifying God for what He's done. That our life would be set apart and different so that anybody watching would be pointed towards Christ. And as we come to church and praise Him, that we just desire to recognize Him for who He is. We don't deserve any of it. We could start now and praise God for the rest of eternity, and we still wouldn't begin to give Him enough glory. So now, as we understand that praise is more than just the noise that comes out of our mouth, but praise is how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives, so that God is the one that gets the recognition and not us. Father, we come before You this evening and we are so grateful. Thank You, first of all, for the ability that we have to praise You, that I could, that Elise and I could to travel the summer and glorify You and have this unique ability to see so many other believers across the country coming together, unifying, uniting together to glorify You. May we never forget that we should never consider praise to be the noise that comes out of our mouth, or just the act that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays, but that it's how we live our lives. Because we are Your bride. We are set apart for Your purpose. May each of us strive to live that purpose so that we can praise You for what You've done in our lives. Thank You for loving us. We don't deserve Your forgiveness. We don't deserve how good You are to us. Now may each of us have the desire, keep Your glory at the forefront of our mind so that we can live our lives glorifying You and praising You for who You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just a thought as we strive to live out the truths from Psalm 66. I would encourage you on a daily basis to strive to make sing praises to God as a reminder that my whole life, not just the moment of singing, but my whole life, my heartbeat, as Pastor Caleb's pointed out, is to be in praise to our wonderful Lord. If you're not in the practice and routine of doing that, make that a part of your habit. Sing praise to God each day. Take a moment, whether it's in your devotional life or it's just throughout the day, where you're on purpose praising God in song, and it can draw you to that. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you'd say, I need to just spend some time asking the Lord for His assistance and help. Praise is not a part of who I am. There's many other characteristics, but not that. And you need to come. Why don't you come and ask the Lord for help and strength to live out on a daily basis the praise of God. So as our pianist quietly plays, we're humming along. If God's working your heart, you come.